We've been talking about the river and the current that would sweep us downstream over the waterfall, and we would end up dying and spend an eternity in hell. We've been talking about the current of culture that would just mess with our life. We've been talking about lots of different things today. We've been talking about how we're supposed to go upstream and not just float. And not powerboat downstream, for sure. Some of my friends are powerboating downstream. That's not a great idea. Others are just in their inner tubes, you know, with their pina coladas and floating down, thinking everything's cool. That's not a great idea either. But we want to be a group of people that go against the current. And the current is just the current that would degrade our life and destroy our life and would take us down instead of up. Well, that's what we're talking about with a current. Anybody have a garden? I have a garden. I call it a garden, but it's just a piece of grass that I don't do anything with. And I don't get very much produce out of that. Every fall I go there and like, where's the tomatoes? Where's the cucumbers? Zucchini will grow almost anywhere, but they don't even grow in my garden. But it's because I don't plant them. That's why they don't grow. And I know that if I leave a piece of ground untended, it grows weeds. And our life just floating along just grows weeds. But we can grow something so much better, and we can have a much better life if we would give it some attention and plant some great stuff inside that. So this time today, we're talking about jet boating upstream. Anybody like jet boats? Jet boats are cool. They're loud. They're noisy. They throw lots of water. They go really fast. They jump over rocks. They're cool. Jet boats are cool. And you can jet boat upstream. And I use the jet boat because Arby talked about kayaking last Sunday, and I'm just thinking jet boats are better than kayaks. But it was a whole different point that he was talking about. He was pulling into the eddy, you know, and taking the break and getting ready to go the next stage and do ministry and be engaged in the church. Today we're just really talking about maturing and growing and moving forward. How many of you know there's more? How many of you want more? Unless you like that Diet Dr. Pepper commercial. I want more, more, more. Do you guys want more? If you're a hiker, a boater, you're out there in the outdoors, if you're like me, you always want to see what's around the next corner. You always want to have that next experience. You don't want to stop. You don't want to quit. You don't want to turn around. You want to keep going. And when I'm talking about jet boating upstream, I really want you to get in your mind this whole concept that there's more upstream for you. And God wants you to get there, and God has some jet boat to get you there. He does. He just wants you to get in. He wants you to fill up the tank with fuel. He wants you to crank the engine over and point that thing upstream and let's go. We can do that. It's an opportunity and it's available for us. When I think about going upstream, I think about a jet boat. And Mom and Dad and I, several years ago, we were in Florida. And Dad has a brother there, and we went into the Gulf of Mexico, and then we went through the intercoastal waterways into Lake Okeechobee, and then we went down the Kissimmee River to the other uncle's house, you know, and it was a beautiful day, and we had a power boat, you know. It wasn't a jet boat by any means, but it did have an engine, so we're calling it a power boat, you know, And in order to go through all of that and go from the Gulf to Lake Okeechobee, which is huge, we had to powerboat against the current, but we also had to go through locks. Have you guys ever been through a lock on a river? It's like you're in a low spot, you pull into this lock, they close the door, they fill it up with water, and then you drive your boat out onto the higher piece of water. And it's awesome. We had to go through lots of those. And I was thinking about when God's calling you and I to go up a little higher, to go a little further upstream, he has locks for us. And sometimes he just wants you to pull in and shut this gate behind you and let him fill you up and then open this door. You know that God opens new doors for you? How many of you would you like to go into some new doors with God? Say, Lord, I've been there, done that, seen that. What else? What's next? Is there more? There absolutely is more. But sometimes you got to pull into God's lock and you got to shut the door and just shut in with him and let him fill you up. And there's a lot of ways to do that. There's a lot of ways you can just study the word. You can go to some conferences. You can just immerse yourself or soak yourself. That's a popular word. You can soak yourself in worship and in his presence and watch God fill you up. And then he'll open a new door and you go on to that next adventure, that next journey. And God wants that for you. I hope you know there's more. Whatever stage you're at today, however long you've been serving God, whether it's a little or a lot, a month or 50 years, however long it's been, there's more. There's more. And God wants you to get there. How many of you know that we don't automatically spiritually mature? It's easy to grow old. Did anybody have a birthday in the last 12 months? You all should raise your hand. Because everybody had a birthday in the last 12 months. I know some of you have been denying your birthdays. You've been dyeing your hair. You've been Botoxing your wrinkles. I know. I feel your pain. I had a friend of mine that said it's no shame to grow old, but it sure is inconvenient. And I'd say, amen, brother, right? But it's easy to grow old, but it's not so easy or automatically to grow up or to mature or to get stronger or to go higher. You got to go against the current to do that. Growing old, you just float downstream. Eventually, you fall off the edge and you're done. But maturing, something different. There's a current against you maturing. There's a current trying to stop you from experiencing God. There's a current trying to push you back, hold you back, and flush you down. But don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. So it's easy to get old, but it takes some effort to overpower the current. Are we putting in the effort? You're here this morning. You put in some effort. Some of you actually combed your hair. Thank you. Some of you put on deodorant. Anybody change your clothes more than once before you come to church? Yeah, okay. Oh, that doesn't look good. Does that make my butt look fat, you know? And we do all that stuff, you know, am I good enough to go to church or not? But how many of you see the way Arby's dressing? You can come any way you want. And if Arby's not a good enough example, we have Bear Claw. You just bring your loincloth and come to church. That's all you got to do. But do bring your loincloth, please. We're free around here, but not that free. Not that free. Let's see, where was I? Oh. Some of you put some effort to get here this morning. Is it a little effort to get the kids ready? To get everybody fed and everybody clothed and everybody get the egg washed off their face or whatever. It's tough to get everybody ready. It's time, we got to get out the door. Anybody rush to get here today? Yeah, it takes some effort to get here. Set your alarm clock, do all of that. It takes some effort. So thank you. You guys are putting in some effort. But there's some effort required to be here. There are some people today that thought about coming, but they're not here. Because they didn't put in the effort. They couldn't get the kids ready. They couldn't get their body out of bed. They couldn't do that. They couldn't put forth the effort to get here. And they're feeling guilty probably, and they're wishing they would have, could have. And if I see them Monday or Tuesday, they're going to say, Pastor, oh man, I really wanted to be there. Just sorry I couldn't make it. And because it takes effort. But to go to this next level that God wants you to go to takes some effort also. And we can grow and stop and just get stagnant, or we can just keep putting in some effort and keep growing. Treading water is a great survival technique, but it will not get you upstream. You need a power boat. You need some power to overcome a current to get you upstream. And I know that there are some days when surviving is victory. Anybody ever go through those days? Just surviving was a victory. I'm not worried about getting upstream. I'm still sucking oxygen instead of water, so I survived. I made it. But you can't live every day like that. There are some days that are just recreational, restorational, resting and relaxing and restoring. You're just floating on the lazy stream, you know, and soaking it all in. But you can't live your whole life that way. There has to be seasons when you jump in the jet boat and you head upstream. There has to be seasons when you put in that extra effort. And those are important seasons. You know what I found the most dangerous thing is? Is to not understand the season and to just tread water when I should be in the power boat. Or sometimes I'm supposed to be treading water and I'm still trying to get the power boat started. That's usually my issue. I'm trying to go upstream farther and God's saying, hey dude, chill out. I'm going, I'll rest when I die. Leave me alone. Robert and I, we like that one, don't we? It takes some effort, and there are seasons. So you should be thinking about, what season are you in? Are you in the season of rest, restoration? Enjoy that. Drop anchor, settle in, soak in the sun, get rehydrated, and enjoy. Maybe you're in survival mode. You're just, I can't tread water. I swim like a rock, you know, kind of like a Chevy, like a rock, you know. That's how I swim. So I don't tread water. People think I'm waving, but I'm just splashing and trying to survive. I'm not waving, really. If you see me in the water doing this, I'm not saying hi. Come help the brother out. There's something going on there. But just in survival mode when you should be resting is not a great experience either. What season are you in? I think some of us are in this season of getting upstream a little farther and seeing what God wants for us. I hope you're in that season. Ever since Adam and Eve, people have been jumping out of the boat into the rapids. You know what? It's not a good thing to jump out of the boat into the rapids. But there's a lot of reasons why people do that. I have written a few down. Some people are just deceived. Don't you think Adam and Eve were deceived? They had it all, and God visited them every single day, and it was perfect, but they got deceived. How many times have we been there where we had it? We were right where God wanted us, and all of a sudden, we got deceived. We jumped out of the boat into the rapids, out of the frying pan into the fire, right? Done that a couple times. Don't want to do that anymore. Sometimes we end up distrusting God. Adam and Eve were convinced that God could not be trusted. And so they end up trusting the real one that couldn't be trusted. And I wonder if that's some of us sometimes. Are we trusting God? Or you are trusting the one who cannot be trusted? Your enemy, Satan. You cannot trust that guy. Jesus said, if his lips are moving, he's lying. He said, he's a liar and he's the father of lies. Satan is. Jesus told us that. You got to not let yourself be deceived by Satan. Some are afraid, some are wounded, some are scared, some are selfish, some are rebellious. Some think they'll take the easier route. Some people think not serving God's the easier route. The Bible clearly said it's the way of the transgressor that's hard. But following Jesus, that's much easier. It doesn't feel like it to our flesh some days though, right? Some days we got to make those decisions. There are people that jump out of the powerboat into the rapids thinking it's easier. But it's really not. Some are fearful, some are proud, some are arrogant. Some are just living for the pleasure of the moment, not thinking about consequences and long-term pleasure, long-term success, long-term joy. Anybody here ever been short-sighted? Yeah, I've been short-sighted a couple times. Kari was short-sighted when she said, yes, you know, married me. And she just got new glasses, and I was really worried because her blurry vision's been beneficial to me. And now she sees clearly, and I was worried, but she loves me anyway, so we're good. Some people are insecure. Have you ever felt insecure in the last 5 minutes? Have you felt insecure? We all feel insecure most of the time, some of the time. Hopefully we get over that because God wants you to be secure and strong. There's a lot of reasons people jump out of the boat. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus lays out this big old, this is the way life is, and this is the way it could be, should be, and this is the way too many times it is. And he just kind of lays that out, and I would love to go through that with you. But he said, you know, he starts with the Beatitudes, blessed are, and he gives us that big list, and then he says, don't you be judging each other, and don't be trying to pull a little sliver out of somebody's eye when you got a big beam in your own eye, and he just talks about all these things, and when he got done, people are going, that's amazing. And the Sermon on the Mount is super amazing. And as I was reading through that, I thought there's a lot of things that stunt our growth. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talked about some things that stunt our growth and talked about some things that would enable our growth. And he says, choose the good ones and avoid those bad ones. And those lessons are still great for us today. Some growth stunters that I looked in those chapters, thinking we don't need God. That's a growth stunter. Lord, I don't need you. I need you kind of for my life insurance policy, but I don't need you every day, all day, right? Sometimes people think that. And that's a growth stunter. Do you know that you need God? You need him more today than you did yesterday. And the cool thing is, he's here. He loves you. And he's ready to help you get upstream a little bit farther. He's definitely ready to do that. There's so many things that are stunting growth today. Wanting to live your own way, ignoring God. Sometimes you think you need him, but you're ignoring him anyway. That stunts your growth. People said coffee stunts your growth. There's all sorts of things that people say stunt your growth. But spiritually, there's things that stunt our growth. And we'd be wise if we would avoid those things. Being judgmental, being harsh, being double-minded, having a divisive heart, always just being a pot stirrer, just stirring stuff up and being divisive all the time, having that dark heart. Some people refuse to be a good example. God really wants, he says, let your light shine. But sometimes we want to shirk responsibility of being a great example. But God said, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And don't let your salt lose its savor. It's good for nothing if that happens. But a lot of times we stiff-arm that responsibility. I don't have to be a role model. I don't have to be a good example. How many professional athletes do we hear on TV saying, I'm not a role model. Don't be looking at me a role model. And they're pushing away that responsibility. We should embrace that. God says, I want to do amazing things in you. I want to get you way upstream. I want you experiencing me and learning about me. And I want to make your life so great and so attractive that people look at you and they say, whatever, I'll have what he's having. That's what God wants. He wants people to look at our life and say, I'll have what he's having. Instead, I ain't going to that church. How are you doing with your example? I'm working on it. That's cool. Just keep working on it. Is anybody perfect? Would you raise your hand if you're perfect? Would you point at a perfect person, please? Yeah, some of you don't know. There are no perfect ones. And God doesn't ask you to be perfect. He just asks you to keep going upstream. Keep going upstream. God's calling. Did you hear that? It's not bad enough that we have cell phones interrupting our church. Now we have our office phones doing it, huh? So let me move on a little bit. I'm going to hurry up because, man, we've done a lot of awesome stuff today already. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26 talks about maturity and immaturity. There's some big old strong verses in the Bible that's telling us, hey, come on, go upstream. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Anybody ever been there? My pastor used to tell me there's a black dog and a white dog inside of us. He says, well, which one wins? Whichever one I say sick 'em to. Are you saying sick 'em to your flesh? Or are you saying sick 'em to your spirit? Because you make choices and decisions every single day. If you're going to go upstream or downstream, you're making those decisions. So these two are contrary to each other. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Some people don't know what that stuff is. It's having sex with people you're not married to. It's pornography. It's dirty jokes and innuendos and nastiness. That's what that is, right? Am I telling the truth? How come y'all get quiet when I say that stuff? Say, preach it, brother. Preach it, brother. Okay. Idolatry. Worshiping other stuff instead of God. Putting other stuff first instead of God. Sorcery. Yeah, those horoscopes, palm readers, and 1-900-dial-a-demon, you know, those psychics, you know, and that's sorcery. It's a work of the flesh. It's something that take you downstream pretty fast. Hatred. Ooh, is any of that in the church? Hatred. Contentions. I'm glad that's only in Orfino. None of that up here in Cami. Jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. That's just a short list, he's saying. Sounds like a pretty big list for us today, but he says that's just a short list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you before in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that clear? We need to just tread water here for a second. Soak it in. Those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to go upstream a little more than this. Have you ever been with other people and they're muddying up the water, and you want to get a drink or wash up a little bit? Do you go upstream or downstream from that? You ever have a little kid peeing in the water? Like, I'm going upstream, thank you. This list is people peeing in the water. You don't want to be bathing in that stuff. You don't want to be drinking that stuff. You need to go upstream a little bit, folks. And then there's this other list, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, amen, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That sounds like some good old stuff. I want to bathe in that stuff. How about you? Let's go upstream where the water's pure and get some of that stuff. Against such there's no law. Those who are in Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. They're upstream a little farther. If we live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited. Let us not provoke one another. Let us not envy one another. Man, I think God's church needs to get upstream a little bit more. Don't you? That pure water. Let's do that. Let's do that. There are a lot of verses about growing and progressing. Ephesians 4, 15, and 16. Grow up in all things. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, grow up? Have you ever done that? Anybody ever said that to you? Grow up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says that to us. Grow up, Kelly. Come on. You're bigger than that. You're better than that. Let's go upstream. We don't need to wade around in that stuff. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the pure milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. God's got some food for you to grow with. He talks about some milk when you're young. We're going to read some verses here in a little bit where he's talking about steak. Man, I want some steak. How about you? Is it lunchtime yet? That preacher, be quiet. We could go eat. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 says, beware, don't fail, don't be led away in error, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Beware. Have you ever seen a beware of dog sign? Have you ever been someplace where they should have had a beware of dog sign? Yeah, preach that one, huh? But the Word of God says, beware. There's danger here. You're going to get bit. Don't go in there. Don't fail, don't fall, grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:20, do not be children in understanding. In malice, be babes. Be babies. And don't understand how to be angry and fight and resentful and contentious. Be a baby. Be immature in that stuff. But in understanding, be mature. Grow in that. Grow up in that. Philippians 3, 13 through 15 says, reach ahead, press forward towards the goal. It sounds like power boating upstream, doesn't it? Paul said, I'm reaching ahead. I'm reaching for the goal. I'm going upstream. I'm going for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he concludes that with, as many as be mature should be thus minded. If you're growing and going upstream in the Lord, you should get to this place to where you're forgetting the things that are behind and you're pressing forward to the things that are ahead of you, because God's got some great stuff ahead of you. There is a prize that God wants to give you, but you're not going to get it in your inner tube with your piña colada. You got to get in the power boat. There's little door prizes for inner tubes, but there's really good prizes for power boaters. I encourage you to become one of those folks. Amen. 2 Peter verses 5, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 says, add to your faith, don't be barren, don't stumble, don't fall. There are exceeding great and precious promises for you. Grow into those. And so Peter was just being really, he used like 11 verses there, just telling them, add to your faith virtue and add to virtue knowledge and add, because there's exceeding great precious promises waiting for you just up river. Go for those. Go for those. Oh, this is good enough. This isn't good enough. This isn't good enough. There's better. There's more. There's more. God wants you and I growing and learning and developing and improving. He wants that for us. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. It's cool that God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you so much he's not going to let you stay that way. He's not going to let you ruin your pitiful self. He's not going to. I want you to grow. I want you to improve. I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. But let's go up a little higher. Let's go upstream together. Let's get the good stuff. Let's get the good stuff. Stunted people are stuck people. Have you ever felt like you were stuck? It's like, God, I'm stuck. I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of going around the same circle over and over and over again. Can we go somewhere else, do something else? And sometimes we end up changing jobs, changing our hairstyle, changing our automobile, changing our house, changing our spouse. Because we're bored, life's not good, and we're stuck. And God says, why don't you let me help you get unstuck? It's okay to get a better house, better car. But you should keep the same spouse. Let me help you with that. We did couples communication this weekend. Man, was that fun. Last weekend we did singles communication class, and this weekend we did couples communication class. Man, that was fun. Anybody who was there, was that good or was that good? That was awesome. It was good. Our marriages need stuff like that. God says, I'll help you with that. If you've been divorced, don't worry. God loves you. He's for you. He's got plans for you. You didn't push the eject button on the will of God. He's a redeemer. Have you ever heard that God's a redeemer? Amen. You shouldn't say God's a redeemer, so I'm switching spouses. Don't do that. But if you've struggled and life wasn't good and life was hard and you've been divorced, God says, your enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Do not be condemned. Just jump in my power boat and let's go upstream together. That's our God. That's what he says. You know what? God hates divorce, but he hates it because it hurts so bad. He hates it because he's got solutions for us, and he wants us to find those. We all have opportunity to grow and progress, and we should jump on that. In our discipleship training last couple years, we've been talking about five levels of maturity. The first level is dead. That's not a good level, in case you don't know. Dead's not the premium level. The next level is infant. That's better than dead, but it's still not where you want to stay, right? After infant, can you guess? Child. Child's better than infant. If you've had an infant and you've had a child, you're going child's better than infant, right? It's like they can dress themselves, feed themselves. They can go to the bathroom on their own without me changing stuff for them. That's a good life. They get their own bowl of ice cream instead of eating out of my bowl. That's a good sign right there. It's a really good sign. After child's young adult. And after young adult is a parent. And God wants you and I to progress through those stages of development. You can get stuck in one of those for a day, a month, a year, and a lifetime. There's people that are in church and they've been there for decades and they're still a child. They've kind of pulled up, they've pulled into a little dock and they've tied up, dropped their anchor, and they're just staying there. Maybe you're one of those folks and God's asking you today, would you untie from the dock, put some fuel in that engine, and let's go upstream together? Would you do that? God might be asking you for that. Paul wrote to some stuck people. I'll finish up with a couple of verses we're going to read here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So they were infants, right? I fed you with milk and not with solid food, For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. Bummer, right? Bummer. It's like, so what do you think God's saying there? God's saying, I wanted you to mature, and I've got some real solid, amazing food for you. How many of you know there's better stuff than milk out there? Does anybody know that? Milk's good with chocolate chip cookies. Don't get me wrong. Brownies. Milk's cool if you add it to good stuff. But just milk by itself. And God's saying, I've got some steak for you. I got some veggies for you. I got some seafood for you. I'm talking about food again. It's lunchtime. I have food for you. And I've been wanting to give this to you, but you're not able to receive it. And you're still not able. God's saying, I wanted you to mature, and I got some great stuff for you. For you're still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? I love that part. I love that part. You're just acting like a human being. What's the matter with you? Sometimes we think that's all we are. Some of you know what's coming. Do you know that we're not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience? But we are a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. And Paul's talking to these people and he's saying, you're living like you're human. Well, I am human. No, you're not. You're spiritual. You're eternal. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You're stuck in a human body right now, but that is not your permanent condition. That's not your eternal condition. One of these days, this body's going into the grave, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But the real me is going to live forever somewhere, and Jesus wants it to be with him. Amen. And Paul says, you guys are just living like humans. Knock it off. Grow up. Mature. I like that. I don't know if you guys like that or not, but I like that. And then Hebrews chapter 5. This is what you've all been waiting for, the last verses. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. You ought to be grown up. You ought to be teaching. You ought to be those good examples. You ought to be way upriver by now, folks. You ought to be. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word, and he's a babe. Being a babe is not what it means today. When they said you're a babe, a whole different meaning than what they're saying today. But solid food belongs to those that are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I know that's a lot of stuff to digest, but we're hoping you have a good digestive system today. And you can handle more than just the milk. The best part is God has great stuff for you upstream. Let's go get that. Don't you want more? I want more. I love where I'm at, but I want more. It's not that I'm greedy, it's just that I'm greedy. I'm not greedy in a bad way. If God says he has more for me, I want that. When God says, you're done, I'll be fine with that too. I want to close with my pastor's statement. I started the series with it. I want to close the series with it. Any old dead fish can float downstream. God doesn't want us to be an old dead fish floating downstream. People who are alive and looking for more, they go upstream. God wants that for you. I want that for you. You want that for yourself. Let's do that. Amen? Pastor Arby's going to come close us out today.